following is a recording for Bill Thorne with the National Retail Federation on Tuesday, December 3rd, 2019, at 10 a.m. Central Time.
Excuse me, everyone. We now have all of our speakers in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of today's presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. I would now like to turn the conference over to Bill Thorne. Mr. Thorne, you may begin.
Thank you, Emma, and thank you all for joining today. My name is Bill Thorne. I'm the Senior Vice President of Communications and Public Affairs for the National Retail Federation, and I'm joined today by Matthew Shea, who is our President and CEO, and Phil Riss, who's the Executive Vice President at Prosper Insights and Analytics, the research firm that conducted our survey. We're very excited about this opportunity to share these results with you. I think the results were very interesting, and we are pleased that you were able to join us today. So, Matt, what does it look like?
Bill, thanks. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We were very bullish going into this weekend. Based on the numbers that we have already seen from the companies we've spoken to, based on the solid underpinning of our economic forecast, which for the holiday season, which we released in early October, and based on many conversations that a number of us had and that I had with retail CEOs and retail leaders at companies in a variety of retail segments. And I can say, based on all that, the results of this survey bear out what we believed was going to be the case, and that is this was an outstanding weekend and an outstanding way to begin and officially kick off the holiday season, beginning with Thanksgiving and all the way through to Cyber Monday. We saw significant growth in the total number of holiday shoppers this year. Over this Black Friday, Thanksgiving weekend, as well as a substantial increase in the total amount spent from the 5 days between Thanksgiving and Cyber Monday. And we're very impressed with that, very pleased with it, and believe that that was very consistent with what we had forecast and what we'd heard from those retail leaders. There were 189.6 million shoppers over these last 5 days. That's up 14.3% from last year's 165.8 million shoppers. And we know that online holiday sales also are substantially elevated compared to the rest of the year, which accounts for some of that. Of the nearly 190 million shoppers that were out this five-day weekend, 142 million of them shopped on retail websites. More than 124 million shopped in store, and 75 million participated in a really seamless way, shopping both online and in store. I think all of that has been validated by the numbers, but also consistent with what I've heard from those executives with whom we've had conversations up to this point, that it was a very solid and a very strong weekend across the board. Another thing that we were able to determine from the results of this survey is that people are feeling more generous this year and maybe feeling more confident, and maybe that confidence is reflected in their behavior. The average amount that was spent on holiday items this year over these last 5 days was $362 almost, $361.90, which is up 16% from last year. And that includes a variety of things, spending on gifts, as well as other holiday purchases, decorations, and food, and the other items that people are purchasing while they're doing their gift shopping. On the gift shopping segment specifically, shoppers spent 18% more this year than they did 1 year ago, for an average of $257. That's actually up $40 from last year. And somewhat, maybe counterintuitively, the biggest gift givers are in the 25 to 34-year-old demographic. And I know that maybe runs contrary to some of the things we think about that age cohort. But 72% of their total weekend holiday purchases were actually on gifts, compared to only 67% last year. As I noted a minute ago, and I think this certainly gave us a lot of confidence as we began the weekend, there was strong momentum as we headed into these past 5 days across the economy, and certainly we'd seen in retail most recently with the October retail sales numbers and the three-month moving average, which were both very positive. And retailers were doing their part to contribute to the momentum. They were offering their deals earlier, creating those great opportunities earlier in the season. And consumers definitely responded by getting into the holiday spirit earlier than normal. In fact, more than half of consumers had started their holiday shopping by the beginning of November. And I think in terms of expectations, you know, consumers have come to expect these deals, these opportunities, both in-store and online. And I think that speaks to the sort of the disappearance, the erosion of the channels between shopping in stores and online, and what we've spoken about for many years about that convergence in consumer behavior and in offerings from retailers. And that momentum carried through the holiday weekend. In terms of activity levels by consumers, by the end of the weekend, 86% of consumers said they had started their holiday shopping, and that's up from only 77% a year ago, so approximately 10% more than last year. Obviously, some of that reflective of the somewhat compressed calendar that has been much discussed leading into this holiday season. And I guess maybe in reflective of that, not only have more people started their holiday shopping and started it earlier than normal, they're also closer to the finish line in terms of completing their shopping lists. Those that were out over this weekend said they've completed 52% of their gift purchases compared to 44% at the same time last year. So a pretty substantial increase in terms not only of how many had started earlier in the season, but how many of them had also accomplished more of what they set out to do than in past years. And I guess, you know, sort of related to this, we know that there's some urgency on the part both of consumers and of retailers because we've got fewer days between Thanksgiving and the Christmas holiday than we have for many years. And I think there's also a sense among consumers that retailers are delivering real value and that there are great opportunities now that are probably unlikely to get substantially better, although we are always impressed with and surprised by the kinds of value that retailers add. But maybe reflective of that, only 39% of those shoppers we surveyed indicated that they believed deals were going to get substantially better as we got nearer to Christmas. Now, as I referenced a minute ago, this was the latest Thanksgiving we could have on the calendar, or the fewest number of days between Thanksgiving and Christmas that we could have based on when Thanksgiving fell, since 2013. So it's been a long time since we had a schedule that was compressed this way. Certainly many things have changed in the past 6 years, and I think for the better, and I think the investments that retailers made in fulfillment, in technology, in inventory management, in marketing, promotion, pricing, in a whole range of areas, I think that set them up very, very well to be prepared for this compressed schedule and to meet and exceed consumer expectations in a year in which we knew there were just not going to be as many days in that traditional holiday period. And I think, you know, the pressure also and the opportunity is there for consumers because there are fewer days on the calendar between those two traditional gift-giving holidays. And that also helped give shopping a boost this weekend. And digging into the numbers a little bit, that was borne out by looking at those segments of the population and also by gender, of those that sort of typically procrastinate. And we know historically from the research, both scientific research we do and the sitting around the Thanksgiving table that happens everywhere, that men in particular and young consumers are the typical procrastinators. And you can, sitting out there on the call, pick your poison, which category you fall into. Those are groups that somewhat surprisingly participated more aggressively this weekend, although historically they have not. One of the statistics that jumped out to me was the fact that 87% of those shoppers under the age of 25 were out this year during that five-day weekend compared to only 69% last year. So a substantial jump. And for men, similarly, another cohort that typically doesn't participate as much early in the season, 73% of men were out shopping, which is up from 65% last year. And again, as I said a minute ago, in terms of sort of completing checklists, you know, I think they've been more productive this year in terms of accomplishing what they set out to do. Both men and those shoppers under the age of 25 are a lot further along than they were last year. And on average, men have picked up 52% of the items on their list compared to only 44% last year. And similarly, those under 25 have completed 58% of their shopping, when at the same time last year over this period, they'd only completed 40% of that shopping. So I think all of that sort of reinforces what we believed about the way consumers would behave during this holiday season, the way retailers had prepared and provided great opportunities that even got some folks that maybe were typically a little bit more on the sidelines into the game earlier than normal. And I think he combined those great deals and those opportunities with the compressed schedule and with the backdrop of overall very healthy macroeconomic conditions, and you had a nice recipe for a very successful five-day weekend. And then as you dig through the numbers, that seems to be reflected even in categories like these. We're also seeing continued growth over the five shopping days. And of course, you know, if we think back, 10 or 15 years ago, the only place you could get high-speed internet was at the office, which is why when the term Cyber Monday was coined, it was really about people getting back into the office on that Monday after the long holiday weekend. That's obviously not the case any longer, and we all have it with us and virtually unlimited access at all times to stay connected and to be engaged with retailers, and retailers, I think, demonstrating their ability to rise to the challenge and provide that seamless opportunity wherever and whenever you may be interested in engaging. Today, in this last weekend, 75% of holiday shoppers indicated they'd use their mobile device for shopping over the weekend. And in just a year, that's up from 66% last year. So a substantial increase there. And as we had anticipated, Black Friday topped Cyber Monday as the busiest day for online shopping, again, reflective of the evolution that's taken place both in terms of mobile offerings and in the fact that you no longer have to wait to Monday to be engaged online. Black Friday is the day for the official kickoff of holiday activity, and that is true both in stores and online. This year, it exceeded Cyber Monday as the busiest day, online shopping by 93 million shoppers. And similarly, for in-store activity, Black Friday remained the busiest day with 84 million shoppers. So that continues to be, I think, the day when people really believe there are going to be great opportunities and are really prepared to go out and be engaged there. So why is that? Well, I think it's for a number of reasons. Certainly the history and the tradition, but you know, if there were no real opportunities there, people wouldn't be engaged. And I think retailers have clearly risen to the challenge and made the kinds of commitments and the kinds of investments they needed to provide those outstanding experiences throughout the weekend and especially on Black Friday. And we've said for a number of years, and I know I've said here as I've talked to leading retailers, that there have been substantial investments in the consumer experience, in personalization, in using technology in a variety of ways, including fulfillment and inventory management. And, you know, as I've said in those conversations with the CEOs that we speak to, and there's other senior executive teams, you know, many of those are investments that take time to bring to bear at scale, and they don't necessarily materialize overnight. And I think what you're seeing now, what we experienced this weekend, was those investments, both that were made more recently and those that were perceived as longer-term investments, are really starting to pay off. And as a result, consumers have become, I think, much more comfortable shopping across all channels, for example, shopping in-store and online and on their mobile devices, and are really getting a seamless, unified experience with a brand as opposed to a series of independent experiences. And I guess, again, digging into the numbers a little bit, you know, there just tend to be fewer distinctions between generations in terms of the way in which they engage with consumers or with retailers. The consumer population is really becoming much more assimilated, as even you see, you know, traditional segments of the consumer population that express channel preferences really no longer express those same preferences. So historically, older consumers were much more engaged in store and somewhat less well represented in terms of online activity. And, you know, and conversely, you saw a younger cohort of shoppers that were much more engaged online and less interested in the store experience. And that really doesn't exist anymore today. We saw it, you know, older segments of the consumer population actively engaged in research and shopping, purchasing online, and we saw that the younger generations, more than half of consumers under 35, were actually in stores, and in the 18 to 24 year old age group, 61% were in stores, which is up from only 45% a year ago. So I think, you know, some of those older distinctions between generations have really diminished and are close to disappearing. And I think that's because you can't tell one experience from another because the experiences are so good, have gotten so much better and continue to improve, that consumers are really no longer challenged by one or the other, because they get a high quality experience regardless of the channel. In terms of the information and the signals that consumers are receiving, what they told us about the information that they relied upon as they were out over this five-day weekend and getting prepared to be out shopping, the communication they received was essential to all this, and they relied and told us that they relied heavily on the communications that they received from retailers in terms of how they navigated the promotions, in terms of the way in which they reviewed emails and conducted online searches, visited the websites. So I think, you know, stepping back a little, we historically tend to think of the online experience as primarily, maybe in some cases even exclusively, about e-commerce, but really the online experience, the mobile experience, is really integrated into and has become part of the entire retail experience, as opposed to independent and distinct in and of itself. And I think, you know, part of what we've seen is that as online activity has been embraced, you know, by retailers in a much more sophisticated way over the years, you know, it has become, to a certain extent, a tide that, as it has risen, has lifted all of the prospects for retailers that have been able to execute that portion of their business at a very, very high level. Many retailers have spoken about this. You know, I think this year, we started to see it last year in a substantial way, but this year we really saw it this weekend, is the growth in the buy online and pick up in store experience. That is a great experience for consumers. It's gotten much, much better. It allows retailers to take advantage of all of the investments they've made in managing their inventory and in purchase fulfillment, and to deploy their teams and their infrastructure in a highly efficient way. And it gives consumers the opportunity to, you know, have that purchase and, you know, forget about free shipping tomorrow or next day delivery or same day delivery. They can go get it right now at a store and have it. And so it really is, in a lot of ways, a combination of ideal opportunities both for consumers and for retailers. And retailers are getting really good at this and are going to continue to get better as they work on this. So that's a sort of a lengthy highlight and overview, but there were so many interesting numbers to talk about and so many different dimensions to the results that we received that kind of highlight various points about the messages and about the overall results of the weekend. Thought it was worth going into that. But Bill, I'll turn it back over to you and let you continue and get into some more of the details.
Thanks, Matt. Hey, Phil, why don't you give us some of your top lines, some of your takeaways?
Will do. Thank you, Bill and Matt. Here are some of the top line numbers on the who, the what, where, why, and when. First, the who. The biggest holiday weekend spenders this year were between the ages of 25 and to 34, and this group spent an average of $440.46, and that's nearly $100 more than the average shopper. And as was mentioned before, 72% of their spending went towards holiday gifts. Now for the what. Weekend shoppers picked up a variety of gifts, but the most popular items were clothing at 58%, toys at 33%, electronics 31%, books and other media came in at 28% and gift cards at 27%. So where did they go? The most popular shopping destinations included department stores at 50%, online at 49%, clothing stores at 36%, grocery stores at 34%, and electronic stores at 32%. How about the why? With online and in-store shopping increasingly intermingled, free shipping was the biggest factor that convinced consumers who were hesitant about making a purchase. Other top factors included limited time sales or promotions, easy to use website or app, and the option to order online and pick up in store, as Matt said. Retailers were more aggressive in meeting these consumer demands this year. The when. There was significant growth over the five shopping days. 189.6 million adults shopped, compared with 165.8 million last year. That was an increase of over 23 million people. The biggest online growth was seen early in the week. The number of online shoppers on Thanksgiving Day was up 42% compared to last year. Weather in some cities may have contributed to more people shopping online on Thanksgiving. And as Matt stated earlier, Black Friday topped Cyber Monday as the busiest day for online at 93.2 million shoppers. This is an increase of 43% compared to last year. Black Friday also remained the busiest day for in-store activity with 84.2 million shoppers. Overall, this was a very strong holiday weekend and is a positive indicator of where we are headed over the next few weeks. Thank you both.
Hey, thanks, Phil. Appreciate that. Hey, Emma, do you want to go ahead and give folks instructions on how to ask a question?
At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1.
Thank you, Emma. Just as a quick note, a lot of this information you'll be able to find online at nrf.com. Matt, while we're waiting for people to get in the queue, there's, as you know, as today is a prime example, tariffs and their impact on the consumer psyche as well as prices. Are we seeing any effect at this point regarding the tariffs?
You know, Bill, I would say that we know from the work that we're doing with our coalition, Americans for Free Trade, and the campaign, Tariffs Hurt the Heartland, and some of the research we've done, we know that up to this point, consumers have paid nearly $40 billion in increased prices because of the existing tariffs. You know, certainly we're hopeful that that we see some positive resolution to the trade conversations that are taking place in a number of places now. You know, this last round, the December 15th round that's been, you know, talked about possibly being suspended, I think obviously is going to have an impact on substantial new numbers of consumer goods. And, you know, we didn't see any of this impact over the holiday weekend, although we know in the survey work we've done over the last few months, you know, approximately 80% of consumers indicate that they're aware of and concerned about the potential impact of the tariffs on consumer prices. I think right now what we're seeing is consumers have the ability to bifurcate their attitude, which is knowing they've got a concern about it, and their actions and activities, which is they're still out shopping and behaving in a very confident way. So I think we certainly heard the administration articulate their views about what they think of the strength of their negotiating position, particularly with the Chinese. And I I think, you know, the best thing that we could all do is let the parties try to work together to resolve this and not try to armchair quarterback things from where we sit, because we all, I think, all agree that a positive resolution is the best possible outcome for the economy and certainly for consumers and workers in this country.
Yeah, the sooner the better. All right, Emma, we're ready to take some questions.
Our first question will come from Ann D'Annunzio with the Associated Press.
Thanks for having the call. You know, with such a strong start, are you worried that shoppers would get, you know, kind of shopped out toward the end, especially when you highlighted a lot of these typical procrastinators, right, like the young shoppers and the male shoppers have completed more shopping than, you know, in the past? Thank you.
And this is Matt, and you know, I think historically we have seen sort of the sometimes the barbell or the dumbbell approach, where you had a lot of activity the Thanksgiving weekend, Black Friday weekend, Cyber Monday, and a lot of activity sort of the weekend right before the Christmas holiday, and then there were a couple of slower periods in between. You know, I think, you know, Jack can certainly weigh in on this, or Phil. I don't think there's nothing in the survey data we got that would suggest that. I think given the overall strength of the economy, I guess I'd be looking at a couple of things. One is, how have consumers behaved up to this point over the last month, 3 months, 6 months, and are they going to continue that behavior? Absent some dramatic outside force. You know, last year we had, you know, the government shutdown and we had a very volatile stock market. This year the economy's in a different place. Consumers are in a better place. You know, you look at the macro, you know, what's unemployment, what are average hourly earnings. I think at the moment we believe we're going to continue the momentum, you know, through the season, and we don't see any reason why we shouldn't. And I think based on what I've heard from the executives and the CEOs I've talked to, that seems to be the view that it's going to be a sprint to the finish, and we should continue, you know, with a lot of robust activity.
Bill, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Only to just reinforce what Matt talked about is that overall the consumers are in a good place. And when the consumers are happy, they like to spend.
That's what we like to hear. All right. Ann, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Emma?
Our next question will come from Jordan Holman with Bloomberg News.
Hi,
hey, Jordan.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. So I wanted to circle back to the types of shopping destinations that consumers went to over the weekend. Like, it was interesting that the department stores had such a strong showing on Black Friday. So in your opinion, does the Black Friday performance of the department stores mean that those strong sales and foot traffic will continue through the holiday season? Because last holiday, we definitely saw some big-name department stores stumble. So is there something about the holiday season that makes department stores, you know, more attractive to customers than other parts of the year?
Hey, Jordan, it's Matt. You know, we actually talked about that that number when we had our, you know, initial conversation about the survey results. I think, you know, a couple things, and again, Phil might have a view on this based on the specifics of the survey instrument and the responses over time, but I think number one, we know that department stores, in the sense that we think about them, all of us that are on this call, are I think in making substantial investments in delivering great value to consumers. And we're really pulling out all the stops to do that over this holiday weekend, because this really is an opportunity to deliver those terrific experiences and value. I think second, you know, I think we know that to a certain extent, this is a category that's kind of self-defined. So the respondents are, you know, kind of making their own decision about what's a department store versus what's a discount store. And the department store number and the discount store number have really, I think, over time diverged, so that the department store number has been steadier increased and the discount store number has, you know, kind of gone in a different direction, which I don't know if that's the way people are defining the their own view of what's one kind of store, what's another. But, you know, I think overall, again, I'd go back to the categories that did well and think about the kinds of merchandise that is frequently found in a department store. You know, apparel had a strong weekend, and we think about weather conditions and, you know, and we think about how that impacts people's purchasing decisions. Also think about inventory levels, and I think, you know, there were a lot of positives that came together this weekend that certainly could have contributed to that positive experience for the department store category.
Phil, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think especially with the younger adults, there is an element of tradition with department stores, and maybe even rekindling some positive childhood memories. That, you know, as young adults, they start thinking back and have memories of holidays past, and the music and the decorations, and I think that whole department store, you know, the Christmas Story movie package is something that you can find at many department stores.
Thank you. Thank you, Jordan. Emma?
Our next question comes from Alistair Gray with Financial Times.
Oh, hi. Just wondering what you make of the latest threat on tariffs on this time in French imports. Thanks.
The threat on the tariffs on French imports? That was the question?
Yes. Yeah.
So, obviously, this is an evolving story, and the president and President Macron, you know, are in the middle probably right now still of their private bilateral conversation. They just had their public piece of this. And, you know, this is obviously a developing dimension to the conversation about trade on this specific issue related to the digital tax that's being talked about in the EU or in France, and how this is going to impact U.S. companies disproportionately, and the president's efforts to, you know, protect American interests. I think this is one where we need to let this play out. There's still some time to do this. I think both sides believed that they were making progress on finding a way to resolve this without this causing further friction in the trade relationship. And certainly it would be our hope that that those talks resume and do so productively, and we reach a resolution that's not going to add to additional taxes on consumers in any jurisdictions, because we know that they're counterproductive to economic growth and to job creation.
Thank you, Matt. Emma, next question.
Our next question comes from John Byers with AFP.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to ask you again about the forecast for this year. It was again very strong. Last year you guys had projected about 4.5% growth in holiday sales and ended up being 2.9%. You said it was in February. You talked a lot about the trade war and also about the government shutdown. There's obviously still a lot of trade uncertainty about trade. The stock market's down again today. What are the chances, you think, that we're going to see that there could be some disappointments the remainder of the season because of some of these factors that in some ways are not that different from they were what they were a year ago.
Listen, this is Matt, and I'll let Jack Kleinhans, our chief economist, is the guy that helps us put the forecast together. But I'll make a couple comments, and then Jack, certainly feel free to jump in. There are about 20 different variables that we take into consideration when we prepare that forecast. It looks at a whole variety of dimensions of the economy related to the housing market and energy prices and wages and unemployment. And, as we look at those factors and see the overall positive momentum there that, as I referenced a couple minutes ago, has been reflected in consumer behavior over the last 6 months, for sure the last 120 days, we feel confident that we're going to hit the mark. Our forecast was 3.8 to 4.2% growth over last year. This weekend certainly reinforced for us our sense that we're on the right track. The activity that's taken place up to now creates the momentum that carries through to the end of the year. So, again, there are always external factors, and we've had fiscal cliffs, and we've had government shutdowns, and we've had stock market drops, and, we've had a variety of historically self-inflicted wounds that have put a little dent in things. But at the moment, I think all of the data that we're receiving and all the results and performance that we've seen reinforces our sense that we've got the right range for our target forecast and that we're on track to meet it.
Jack, did you want to add anything to that?
Well, I think it's very important that last year there was really several items that came to bear. Going in, October was very strong. It was like plus 5.8%, then November 4.7% year over year. But during that period of time, there were a number of forces that Matt was mentioning. There was certainly the shutdown, the tariffs, but don't forget that we had three interest rate increases in 2018 that also kind of stymied a number of sectors, including the consumer. And with the stock market that fell off, especially we had a period of 3 or 4 weeks of very volatile stock market, I think the wealth effect truly had impacted the consumer, and you put against the backdrop to shut down the tariffs. And it was a very unusual December. I think if we hadn't seen several of those factors, we probably would have scored a much higher performance. And I think we don't have necessarily that same set of factors today that we saw a year ago.
Thank you. Emma, I think we have time for a couple more.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, you may press star 1. Our next question comes from Jim Roop with Westwood One News.
Hi, good morning. Happy holidays. I'd like to you. Thank you. I'd like to revisit this age group 25 to 34. 72% actually admitted they purchased, no offense to anybody in that age group, Al, but they admitted to buying gifts 72% for other people.
Bill, do you want to take that?
I just want to make sure I understood the question, Jim. The within the survey results, the 25 to 34 year olds spent over the 5-day weekend an average of $440.46. And then of that, 72% was spent on holiday gifts.
Gotcha. Okay. I just needed that clarified. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
No problem. Emma, next.
Our next question comes from Mao Ling Shong with Xinhua News Agency.
Thank you for taking the question. So I was just want to follow up on the question regarding the tariffs, especially because of the U.S.-China trade tensions. I was wondering whether the retailers have been dealing with the situation by absorbing the cost, and are they reluctant to increase the prices for now? And also, are consumers buying more products to avoid price increases? So any observation or analysis on that regard would be great. Thank you.
Matt?
So I guess the observation would be that that retailers have been aware of the potential for tariffs and of the actual tariffs for some time now, going back to really the middle of last year, 2018, and certainly have taken a number of approaches to try to mitigate the impact, both in the immediate near term and in the long term, related to diversification of the supply chain and creative approaches with vendors and suppliers and changing inventory mix and you know, adjusting the balance of product offerings. So I think there are a variety of opportunities for retailers to try to address these things, as one CEO has said many times, talking about his particular company, having a lot of levers to pull to try to mitigate this. Having said that, it's not true that that all retailers are treated equally when it comes to the ability to address these challenges, because not all have the scale or the resources or the relationships or the infrastructure to navigate both the actual impact of the tariffs as well as the uncertainty created by the unknown of when and whether they're going to actually hit and on which products and items and at which times. And that burden and the negative consequences of the uncertainty falls disproportionately on mid-sized, smaller, independent retailers that don't possess either the relationships or the resources, the scale and scope necessary to change their supply chains, to negotiate with their supplier partners, to adjust costs by moving them across a variety of goods, or to make changes in those offerings. So there's a real risk that the imposition of additional tariffs results in a substantial headwind and for those companies, and a real drag both on economic activity and on employment, which we have been communicating to the administration throughout this process. You know, we agree 100% with the thesis that we need to restructure the trade relationship with China on a variety of levels, including forced technology transfer and intellectual property theft and market access, to name just a few. You know, we've also expressed our concern about using tariffs as the tactic by which to accomplish progress in addressing those issues. I was in China and in Hong Kong a few weeks ago, visited with a number of U.S. government officials there, with retail companies, with suppliers, with partners, to discuss the issue and to continue to learn about what's happening on the ground. And I can say that, you know, companies are working very, very diligently to try to do everything possible to mitigate the impact on their customers and on their businesses. And all of them remain hopeful and optimistic that we'll get a resolution to this so that there isn't a potential negative impact on our economy.
Thank you, Matt. I think we have time for maybe two, maybe one, but Emma, who's up next?
Our next question will come from Charity Scott with the Wall Street Journal.
Hello. This question is for Matthew. I'm wondering if you can give a little bit more information on the shopping habits of particularly younger consumers and how that's sort of converging with shopping habits across all age cohorts.
Well, let me start, and then I'll let Phil, because he really can dig into the numbers here. But I think what we have seen over time is that, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, those younger cohort, that at 18 to 24, 25 to 34 age group, have historically been engaged online in pretty high percentages. Simply because of the sort of the digital native world in which they've grown up. But what's been surprising, and this has borne itself out over several years now, this isn't the first year we've seen it, this is the culmination of a few years, of seeing those younger shoppers actually embracing the in-store experience. And Phil referenced that, sort of talking about the nostalgia dimension to this, which is probably true of multiple cohorts. But there is a very social aspect of the Thanksgiving weekend, Black Friday, Small Business Saturday sort of experience that historically has been uniquely American. And now we know over the years it's you know, expanded to markets and countries outside the U.S. But the younger cohort seems to really be embracing that in a way that is a little bit surprising, and it seems to be pretty consistent because it's remained steady or increased over the last couple of years. So, you know, Phil can give some more color on that, but I think it's interesting that these are really incredibly, in terms of thinking about this from a market analysis perspective, incredibly valuable consumers because they're out there engaged, but they're also engaged in store and online. And the consumers that I think every retailer would tell you that their best customers are not those that shop one or another channel exclusively, but they're those that engage consistently across channels. And yeah. I think that's a really positive dimension for this weekend.
Bill?
Yeah, yes, and just to build on the comments, Matt, you said earlier about the investments that retailers have made over the years, especially with the making their websites and their online mobile friendly. I mean, if you think back to 5 years ago and you tried to go use your smartphone to go to a website and things were all over the place, and those dollars that the retailers have made into those their online have brought the older generations now into, and I'm an older guy myself, into the mobile shopping experience, and the fact that it's mobile means you can carry it with you while you're in the store and check prices and look for store hours, and it becomes, the mobile device becomes a tool that all generations are using to be more informed and productive shoppers.
Thank you.
Emma, I think we have time for one more.
We'll take our next question from Janelle Nanos with Boston Globe.
Hi, thank you guys so much. I'm just going to follow up on Charity's question a little bit, and I'm curious if you would credit that shift in consumption to the most popular shopping group being that 24 to 34-year-old group to the compression of the season this year or to the changing habits of those shoppers? I know that a lot of the research is looking at that they're very into deals and that that would align with this holiday, you know, big holiday weekend. I was just hoping you could talk a little bit more about their preferences.
Bill, you want to take that?
You know, I think it's a combination of both their young adulthood, the 25 to 34-year-olds, the deals that were made available by the retailers themselves, and the, you know, the as the younger generation likes to say, FOMO, fear of missing out, that the deals may not be as good. The convenience of either buying them online or going in store or buying them in line and picking them up in store. I think all of those in combination were factors with the spending with that 25 to 34-year-old cohort.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil. Emma, I think that I think that's going to wrap things up for us. We're right at noon, and so I want to thank everyone for joining the call. And if you have additional questions, please reach out to our NRF team at press@nrf.com or call us at 855-NRF-PRESS. Thanks again, and also remember, nrf.com, a lot of this information is on the website. Thank you, Emma.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.